dignity, respect, the kind of compassionate care that we all want for our parents and grandparents. So I think it's quite a good antidote to all the worrying that's happening at the moment. It's very tough on the front line, but there are some very positive things here.
But if we want the NHS to continue as it is, free at the point of service, we need that extra money. Will you be able to find it?
Well, as I've said, I can't, important though your show is, I can't give the budgets for the next 5 years on a breakfast show. But if you look at our track record, as I say, this report says if you were going to increase funding in line with the growth in population, broadly you'd need another 8 billion. And we've delivered 5 billion of extra spending in this parliament. And we've done it because we took very difficult decisions in other areas of public spending. Other government departments had their budgets cut quite severely, but not the NHS. And we've also, on the back of a strong economy, got ourselves into a position where people can have confidence that we will be able to sustain increases in real term on spending on the NHS, which is what we all want.
So you can't commit to the £8 billion, which Simon Stevens says is absolutely necessary.
I mean, with respect, you're putting words into my mouth there, because no health secretary can give the spending profile of an entire future parliament on a radio show. This is done by the Chancellor of the Exchequer in budgets.
But what I can do
is say, look at our track record, where we have actually delivered spending increases of the kind of scale that this report talks about.
Completely enamoured with your track record. We'll hear from a GP in a moment, but this is what he says. Doctors and nurses have become powerless within the NHS, which is becoming heavily steered away from patient care. Its main focus is diverted towards political diktat and top-down targets. Contrary to political rhetoric, the NHS is struggling to cope with demand, patient care is declining, and the privatisation agenda is shared by all the mainstream parties. That's from someone working in the NHS.
Well, I don't agree with the privatisation bit. In fact, if you look at this report, it doesn't talk about privatisation at all, and I think there's been a lot of scare stories going on. But I do actually agree with that GP about changing the culture in the NHS away from top-down targets towards putting patients first. And one of the things that GP will know is that we have brought back personal responsibility for every single patient in the NHS by GPs, something we used to have and was taken away. And I think we do need a system where we give people on the front line enough time to really put patients first and foremost in their thinking. I think we have had a culture where there's been too much focus on institutional targets. And following the tragedies of Midstats, that's something that we're trying to change.
Can the Conservative Party be trusted on anything they say about the NHS, particularly coming up to a general election? Because we did last time have that pre-election commitment of no top-down reorganisation, which seemed to be thrown out. Oh, somebody else demanding your time and attention.
Sorry, but I'm in the BBC studio, so I'm not in control of which things ring.
Don't worry, someone will press a button somewhere. Throwing out that commitment to no top-down reorganisation as soon as you came into power, some critics say that led to a waste of £3 billion in the NHS. Can you truly be trusted?
Well, let's talk about our record. I'm very proud of it. I mean, that reorganisation was not popular, but what we actually did was, because we got rid of the old PCTs and SHAs, around 19,000 administrators, we were able to hire around 10,000 extra doctors and nurses. And as a result of that, the NHS is now doing nearly 1 million more operations every year. And we're holding firm on our waiting times, which is one of the most important measures of success for the NHS. So it hasn't been easy. And actually, this report today says that we're going to have to go on taking difficult decisions, because it's not just about money. It's also about doing things more efficiently. It's about treating people closer to home so they don't always need to go to hospital.
It's also about taking more personal responsibility for your own health, isn't it? And this is one of the really, really tricky areas. You've got control over what you can do, perhaps organisationally within the NHS and budgets and so on. But what about everyone else living their lives out there? And I wonder, if you were in a supermarket, I don't know how often you go shopping, I'm sure you do.
Regularly.
You're standing behind a mother, perhaps with a child who is not a healthy weight, and you see stacks of, I don't know, frozen pizza, sugary cereals, whatever it might be, unhealthy food, bottles of wine, beer, whatever it might be, going along that conveyor belt. If you were looking over her shoulder, or father's shoulder, horrible thought for the person that may be, what would you say to that person to persuade them to put that food away and replace it with something healthier?
Well, I don't believe in lecturing other people on what they buy in a supermarket, and I don't think they would welcome that either, even if it's the health secretary that's doing it. But I do actually sympathise with parents. I've got 3 children under 5, and sometimes kids want to eat stuff that you know they shouldn't, and it's really, really hard to stop them. And I think what this report says is that we need to have a national effort. Yes, the government has a role to play, but also individuals have to take responsibility, and also employers have to take responsibility in encouraging their employees to lead healthy lifestyles. And I think one of the most shocking statistics on childhood obesity is that the number of children who go into primary school obese is about 9%. The number of children who leave primary school obese is 19%. So it basically doubles at primary school. And we absolutely have to tackle that.
Okay, thank you. I know we have to let you go. We could talk for much longer. That's the Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt.
Well, we can get the view now of a doctor, or at the coalface, as it were, Dr. Bob Gill, who's a GP in a small surgery in Welling in Kent. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I know you've been listening to the Health Secretary there.
I have, yes.
And one of the plans seemed to be, well, it's over to GPs. There's a phrase that's been used. It's to vertically integrate all the services in the NHS. And by that, it means bringing GPs into hospitals, maybe consultants into GP surgeries, to integrate the whole service. What do you make of that?
Well, it all sounds very good and plausible, but unfortunately, having 20 years' experience of successive reforms, the direction of travel is clear. This current government has set about destroying hospital services. Now they're turning their attention to GP services. Morale in general practice is extremely low. It's very difficult to recruit and retain staff because of all the uncertainty and one political brainwave after the other. But what Jeremy Hunt has been very reluctant to admit is there is a privatisation plan. They want to keep this out of the public attention for as long as possible, and they've got the right man in the job at the moment, Simon Stevens, former executive at United Health, one of the biggest private insurance companies in the US, and they want to turn the United Kingdom's health service into a US style system. And one way to get us there is to restrict budgets, force the service downhill, reduce quality, reduce access, and to create a demand, something must be done, for which they already have a pre-prepared solution.
And you fear that this is what it's really about?
Well, this is the direction of travel for the last 20 years. Labour and Tory have been playing good cop, bad cop, and the direction is in the wrong direction. They're ignoring all the evidence. There's an international independent survey by the Commonwealth Fund based in New York, which compared us to 11 developed world countries. We ranked number one on most criteria. We spend just over $3,500 per year, whereas the Americans spend $5,500 for a much worse, unequal service, which is not universal and not easily accessible.
But what do
they
we do?
They are destroying...
What do we do then? Because this is NHS England. They've gone away and they've said we have a predicted shortfall by 2020 of £30 billion. Yeah. If we carry on the way we are, then that could fund 100 hospitals. So we will reorganise it. That's one thing we can do. That'll save £22 billion. We'll still be left with a yearly deficit of £8 billion. But we can't stand still. We have to do something. And they don't actually mention any more private services in this report. They say with a slight increase in funding and in line with inflation, that they could reach that target. You're still $8 billion down a year, but this is what could be achieved.
Well, there's something in excess of $100 billion unpaid tax, corporation tax, tax evasion. So there's plenty of money around. They're just choosing not to collect that money. There is also inherent built-in waste of money in terms of financing of new hospitals called Private Finance Initiative, which is making hospitals unstable and removing funding from the front line. There's also the cost of their ludicrous market, which has increased administration cost of the NHS from 5% in excess of 14%, and we're emulating the US, which is heading up to 30% administration. They are diverting massive amount of funding away from patient care. They're making the system more inefficient whilst at the same time pretending to be improving efficiency. The complete contempt they have for the public by continuing to lie and deceive about the ultimate end game, which is the American insurance system. And they've got an ex-American insurance executive in office to carry out this job.
Okay,
you know, the writing is on the wall, and more people need to see what's coming.
You've made your point very forcibly. Obviously, for their part, the coalition government would say this is about keeping the NHS free at the point of delivery. But that was Dr. Bob Gill.